Welcome into episode 11 of the No Shows Sportscast. I am Trevor Coos, and I'm joined again, as always, by my good friend Mark Ling. Mark, how's it going tonight?
It's going okay. It's been a long day.
Yeah, Mark and I are finishing up our spring break. Reality is setting in, and we both have classes tomorrow morning.
Reality sucks.
Suck. I think we can agree to that. But we did work very hard this spring break, and as of about 5 minutes before recording this, our top 50 fantasy prospects list is
baseball prospects.
Baseball prospects. Yeah, we're not dealing with football or basketball. That'd be a crazy list.
Basketball?
No, like combined.
Oh.
Like best prospect in general.
Yep, that would be.
I'm not even sure how you would do that. Anyway,
we could figure it out.
Coming in 2011, the all sports
2015. They'll forget about it by 2015.
So, as I was saying, our list is complete, and we figured what better place to talk about it than right here, right now. So, we're part one tonight. We're gonna be discussing we're not gonna go player by player. We are gonna be releasing a post on the blog later this week with, you know, a lengthy paragraph or so for each player. So there'll be more of our thoughts there. But we're gonna go, you know, broad strokes. You know, what was our thought process going into this? Were there any guys that we felt were a little too low for our own personal tastes?
Too low.
Or who might have been snubbed from the list? Who's too high? And we're gonna get right into it here now. And so, for those of you that were not listening when we first released the idea of this list, it's a prospect list. So for Dynasty and Keeper leagues dealing with prospects. And now there's lots of prospect lists out there, but every single one of them factors in defense. And so it's like a real baseball list. So it's not quite as valuable for, say, fantasy baseball junkies like myself and Mark.
Yeah, they have regular prospect lists given out by like Baseball America, like you just said. But there's also some fantasy prospect lists out there. But they're geared towards the one season. They're geared towards single season leagues.
And those have really only popped up, I'd say, last season. I saw the first one by Jonathan Mayo.
Right.
But it, like you said, it's a one-year deal. So in this year's league, Dan Runsler is ninth.
On Mayo's list, right?
On Mayo's list.
So ours is sort of long-term.
This is a kind of a combination of the two, if you will.
To our knowledge, it's the only list of its kind, although there might be some other scrubs like us out there somewhere making lists like this. But
great minds think alike.
What?
Scrubs think alike.
Oh, yeah. That's scrubs.
So, starting off on the top of our list, something I didn't actually notice until we were done, in our top 20, we only have 5 pitchers.
Interesting.
So we went heavy hitters early on. Our first pitcher appearing on the list. And now I'm not even gonna edit this out. This is a look behind the screen. I forgot about Strasburg.
You didn't count him?
I did not count Strasburg.
He's a pitcher.
He is a pitcher.
So six pitchers in the top 20?
Six pitchers, and it's still impressive, but I was gonna say our first pitcher didn't clock in until number 9 with Mattis.
Right.
And to be fair, it could be that we just ignore Strasburg and do 50 other guys, because in our opinion, I mean, we'll drop the news right here. Strasburg is number one on our list.
Yep. He is Hayward's number two, but
breaking news, seems to be against the trend.
Yeah. Very few people had Strasburg number one in their people when Hayward, and that's for many reasons. One, Hayward's been getting lots of hype lately. And this was before the news came out that Hayward is going to be starting in the bigs, which he is. He's going to be starting right fielder from opening day.
Yes.
So we ranked Strasburg ahead of Hayward as well.
Personally, I would still keep him that way. And yeah. But really, it is kind of, it's a little cliche, but it's kind of like 1A and 1B.
Right. They are the two top prospects of the entire base and all defeated.
They're on a tier by themselves, and
Right.
then we've got the other
It's like
48
last
guys on
year.
our
It's
list.
last year it was like this with David Price and Matt Wieters. It
Yes.
was the two guys who were undisputably better than anyone else, and then it was sort of the rest of the 48.
And that's not insulting the rest of the prospects. How it's speaking to how good Strasburg and Hayward can be.
Right.
And I've heard some interesting news over the last couple of weeks, most recently from Buster Olney, who said he has a lot of people question Steven Strasburg and be like, oh, he's not that good. I don't believe the hype. And then they go see him in person, and afterwards you don't hear a peep out of them complaining
Right.
about Strasburg.
What was it? He said that there's a scout that said right now today is better than AJ Burnett is
Yes,
today.
today. Not
AJ Burnett at
AJ
this point.
Burnett's rookie season.
Right.
This is AJ Burnett 2010.
Yes. Meaning that if the Yankees had the choice, obviously, if it was just a one season real life league, that a team would pick AJ
Yes.
Burnett for just for this season.
I mean, clearly a team would prefer
Long
Steven
term.
Strasburg to AJ Burnett long
And
term.
probably, yeah, for.
But even for this year, and that's lofty praise. AJ Burnett is no slouch on the pitcher's mound.
No, he's not. He was he the third number two on the Yankees? Yeah, behind CC. Yeah, they're the Yankees. They have one of the best rotations in baseball, and he's at the top of it.
I mean, yeah, you've got CC Burnett, Vasquez, Pettitte, and now just named
Phil
the other day
Hughes.
Phil Hughes.
Yes. So there you go. Broad reasons why we rank Strasburg ahead of Hayward. There's a few. One is because lots of Hayward's value comes from defense.
Yes.
He's going to be a great offensive player. They're saying he could hit. Someone said Albert.
Right, which is, in my opinion,
It is.
ridiculous.
It is. He, but he, that means he could hit around 40 home runs. He could hit well over 300. He could steal 15 to 20 bases. He could
Right.
do basically it all at the plate. But there was already debate in real baseball lists as to whether, and that was factoring in the fact that Hayward is going to be one of the best defensive right fielders in baseball.
Right.
So if you take that away, none of Steven Strasburg's skills don't count for fantasy. Or
Exactly.
so everything Strasburg does in real life translates to fantasy sports. So in our minds, that puts Strasburg ahead of Hayward. The naysayers about Strasburg, or the people who put Hayward ahead of Strasburg, say that Pittsburgh pitchers are much riskier than outfielders, which is fair. More pitchers have injuries just because it's the nature of their position.
Yeah.
Count on injuries.
No, it's hard to predict that, especially because I mean people are comparing him to Mark Pryor in a bad way,
Right.
when at the time people were saying Mark Pryor has impeccable mechanics, the best pitcher ever. So it's really it's imp it, I mean, mechanical analysis is in its infancy still.
Right.
So you can't really say that he's going to be hurt
Yeah,
and
people.
like really guarantee that. That's a very, very outlandish statement, in my opinion.
Yeah, there are people who say that that Strasburg will get hurt, and there are people that are saying that the chances are high. And like, the chances are, there's a decent chance that Strasburg will get hurt at some point in his career, just because every pitcher
Yeah.
gets hurt in their career.
I
That's
mean,
just the nature of being a pitcher.
that an arm goes through when pitching is just not natural.
Right.
It's actually much more natural, fast pitch softball, let's say.
Right.
That's kind of how the arm is meant to go. To have it go, over the top like that, it is on an arm, and really, no matter what your mechanics are, at some point you've got a pretty good chance at injury.
Right. It depends more on the person. That's something you can't. That's not
Exactly.
something you can measure. That's like why Mark Pryor, who by all accounts had a pretty good delivery, got hurt, and Tim Lincecum, who by all accounts has a stressful one, is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
So it just depends on the person.
So Steven Strasburg at the top. After that, some heavy hitters, and we definitely put an emphasis on power early on.
So I don't think we should talk about.
No, I accidentally dropped the Strasburg name.
Yeah.
We're not naming. We might name a couple of the snubs in a minute or two, but we're not naming anyone else for
We can
that.
name a couple guys who are like uncharacteristically high.
Yeah,
People who are higher on our list.
going player by player here. For
No.
that, you go to noshowsports.blogspot.com.
Right.
And that'll be coming out within the next couple days, definitely before we talk next week. And that depth.
This we can just discuss this now. Did you want to do in groups of 10, starting from 50 to 49 or 50 to 41? Release it in
Yes.
groups of 10, or did you
Groups of
want
10.
to so
Depending on how much putting into each post, I think that 50 paragraphs, depending on the size of the paragraph, is a bit much to put into one post.
Right, but so is it all going to be released this week, or are we going to do the 50 to 49, 50 to 41 this week, and then sort of groups of 10 week
by
week?
We'll have to see. Be a post with some portion of a prospect list released
there you go.
On our blog.
You will at least figure out who number 50 is.
Yes, which was a much debate.
Not really.
One guy I did want to talk about specifically was the guy who was fairly high on our list and due to some outside influences is no longer on there.
Right.
And I think you know who I'm talking about. I'm going to just pitch it up there and you can...
Yes, you're talking about Ryan Westmoreland.
Nailed it.
Red Sox outfielder who was originally 20 on our list.
Yes.
He was a top 20 prospect and... It was found out recently that he had brain surgery. Cavernous malformation in his brain.
Which is some sort of problem with the blood cells in his brain. It itself wasn't going to do anything to him, but it could lead to strokes, which can be fatal.
I'm no doctor, but those things are bad.
Those are very bad.
So it's sort of, he had brain surgery, which is...
And
big deal.
He had it, I think, going on 2 weeks now.
Right.
2 weeks ago, he had it. We were in the early stages of our development. He was 20th. And then this news came out, and he quickly had the surgery, given the serious nature of it. So he is no longer on the list. Just because, you know, nobody knows.
Having brain surgery is a huge deal. We
yeah.
don't know when or if he will come back to baseball. It's believed that he will at some point, but there's no timetable for his return. And really, we shouldn't expect there to be one
yeah.
because he had a pretty big
yeah.
condition.
I mean, in all possibility, from now we could see Ryan Westmoreland on the field without any problems.
Right, but it
but
could also be
just,
2 years.
We just at this point, there's just no point in even guessing.
Right.
Because nobody, even the doctors don't know.
Exactly.
He's still, by all accounts, the surgery went well. He should, at least for a standard life, you know, not thinking about baseball, his life itself should be okay. So the Sox and the rest of the prospect world is going to have to just, you know, wait.
Over under six months for Ryan Westmoreland to be on a baseball field, playing a game.
Are we talking like a minor league game? I'll take the over.
You think over 6 months?
Yeah.
What about 8 months?
That's probably. I'd say 6 to 8 is if everything goes well, I could see him back out there by then.
So you're saying under 8 months?
If I had to guess, you think?
Mm-hmm.
You think people will think less of us that we're betting on a young man's brain?
No. Not betting on his brain. We're betting on his
recovery.
The Red Sox's willingness to.
I don't think they'll be rushing him. I think, I mean, I honestly don't know what the recovery process for surgery on a cavernous malformation is. I mean,
that's
6 months.
Point. That's the point. I'm not sure anyone knows.
Yeah.
I'm not sure any baseball players had this condition before, so no
yeah.
one really knows. You're gonna take the under. I'll take the over.
Sure.
All right. Let's do it.
Put it on the board. So now, just real quick, we like I was saying, early on we emphasized power, and I'd say that kind of stuck most of the list. We definitely put an emphasis on possibility of actually making it to the majors.
Right.
Not a huge possibility. We still like the upside, because that's how dynasty leagues are won.
Like Ryan Westmoreland, who is... probably 2 to 3 years away before this condition,
yeah.
was 20th.
He was 20th.
So he could. So many things could go wrong aside from this sort of freak condition.
Yes.
So many baseball things could have gone wrong with him, but he was still 20 because of his upside.
He had amazing upside. People were comparing him to Grady Sizemore. It seems to be the name thrown around the most, at least in
right.
comparison to him. But and then we definitely put an emphasis on premium positions. Catcher, shortstop, second base. You know, not to go too far into it, but and then power speed combination.
Right.
Definitely,
just the things you look
yeah.
for in a fantasy player.
Exactly, and that's what we think this list brings that no other list, at least that's widely available, has done before.
Right.
And that's kind of why we took the time to put it together.
For sure. It's something we would use because we are
exactly.
sort of dorks like this, and the people we know and who are in fantasy leagues with us might look at it. So it's useful to some niche group of people.
Exactly. And now, just to throw out a couple names to kind of guys who didn't make it, some snubs.
All right.
So just to give away a few, not too many, but a few names of guys that didn't make it that some people might think of as a bold statement.
Okay.
And now the one I wanted to start off with was Dan Hudson.
Okay.
Who has been getting a lot of love over the last year. He had a very good year in the minors for the White Sox. He's probably set to... He might spend some time in the bullpen. I'm not sure where the White Sox rotation stands. Could be back down in AAA. But is very, very close to the majors. But in my opinion, is no better than a fourth starter at best.
Right. So
he just doesn't have the stuff. He's not going to be putting up the strikeouts and getting, you know, the low enough whip in ERA that's going to make him valuable for a fantasy baseball team.
Right, so that's basically how our minds work, is when we like a prospect, it's because he has really high upside.
Yeah.
Because any something could go wrong with any prospect, but if it goes right, someone who's going to be at the top. We
yeah.
don't want if things go right with Dan Hudson, he's going to be at best an average player.
Yeah, he's not if Dan Hudson ever makes it to an all-star game, I will do something that we'll have to be come up with later.
You will do something
I
shocking?
I will do something shocking, because I just don't think that's ever going to happen.
Interesting.
And we can maybe talk about that later after recording.
Talk about it now.
I mean, I just... There's a group of prospect fans out there that really think that he has... I've heard front of the rotation starter thrown around with his name, which I just find so ridiculous.
Well, he could be the front of a bad rotation.
Yeah, but okay, if that's what they're meaning,
we
they're
would
crazy.
Have, we yeah, we would have
because,
to come up with some statistical, like,
I mean,
amount of strikeouts, amount
yeah.
of ERA, something like that.
And I don't, like I was saying though, I don't think I see Dan Hudson being more than a four, and that kind of starter isn't going to be on fantasy teams, except in, you know, if you're over 15 teams in any sort of mixed league, or, you know, a 12 or more team AL-only league, or even 10 or more AL-only league, I could see Dan Hudson eventually being valuable.
Right.
But if we're talking just, you know, a standard, you know, 10 or 12 team mixed, you know, standard scoring, I don't think he's on very many rosters.
Basically, you're telling me he's Joe Blanton.
If his career is Joe Blanton, I think he'd be happy with it.
Exactly. We don't like Joe Blanton.
And Joe Blanton Joe Blanton is not welcome in no-show studios.
He's the example. We would welcome him.
That's true. That's true. Joe Blanton, Joe, if you're listening, you know we may hate a little bit, but it's only because we want the best for you.
He's statistically the kind of player we don't like because he has such a low upside. But,
yeah, low upside, high whip.
Strasburg's the kind of guy we go
exactly
gaga over. Quote me.
So another couple guys that have been snubbed, in my opinion, that you know,
opinion.
In my opinion, that's true. Bad wording. In my
like,
opinion, well, in my opinion, I'd
because
say
you, because you had a hand in the list, so you can't say they were snubbed. Snubbed implies that they were.
In my opinion, I would say this next guy could have we could have made a case for him in the.
So these are the guys who are, if we continued the list, they would be in the 50 to 60 range.
Yes. Okay. That's good wording. Much better wording. That's why we keep you around. And Will Myers is who I'm thinking of.
Yes.
And really the reason he isn't on the list is because he's done so little of actual production.
And he's on the Royals.
Which I think, you know, 10 years from now, we might have to make another $20 bet. We might.
10 years from
ten
now,
year,
we
ten,
might have to make another
season.
$20.
No. I said
up front right now. We need to make another.
Yeah.
No, I don't hate the Royals. I think they have a good.
Especially
system.
With their pitching coming up.
Yeah, they have talent, but they're notorious for being terrible.
Screwing up.
Exactly.
But
they've had top prospects like Mike Moustakas and Eric Hosmer.
Eric
neither of whom made our list, by the way.
Well,
Moustakas,
I'm not a fan of. Hosmer.
We were a fan of Moustakas last year, 2 years ago, when he was.
Yeah.
And then the Royals ruined him.
That's true. Hosmer apparently had LASIK surgery this offseason.
Yeah. Someone did that last year. Wasn't. I feel like it was like Aaron Boone or something had LASIK surgery. No.
Aaron
Dan
Boone
Johnson.
Has not.
It was
been
Dan Johnson. Dan Johnson had LASIK surgery.
Last year?
Going into last season, he had LASIK surgery in the offseason. It was supposed to cure him. I don't even know what team he's on. I think he's on the Rays.
I think he's on the Tokes.
Even better. It's a Japanese team, by the way.
For those of you not in the know. And one last guy who could, a year from now, easily be on. I'm not sure. Let's not get out ahead of ourselves and, you know, think that we'll still be around a year from now.
I'll be around.
But if No Shows Sports is around a year from now,
Jeff Decker.
Jeff. It's Jeff.
But it's an A.
It's Jeff.
That's the worst spelling of the name Jeff.
It's
ever.
Okay. The MLB Network did not know either.
Interesting.
Yes. On their prospect special.
So how do you know?
Huh?
How do you know?
Because the internet, and apparently he gets that question asked all the time.
I imagine.
Yeah. Blame it on your parents. If you want to go crazy with the Jeff spelling, there's always the old Geoff.
Yeah.
That's much better, because at least like people are like, oh, yeah, that's Jeff.
This is creative.
This
creatively
is, yeah.
Terrible.
J-A-F-F.
Jeff.
Jeff.
Anywho.
He has put numbers so far. He's on the Padres, who have done a much better job over the last couple of years with scouting and player development.
Like who?
Like Kyle Blanks. Kevin Kuzmanoff?
Yes. They have not done any better over the last couple of years. Matt Bush qualifies as being in the last couple of years.
By the way, just side note, did you see that Sergio Santos is going to probably make the White Sox as a pitcher?
I did not.
Yeah. Former first-round pick, top prospect as a shortstop, seems to be making an effective move over to relief pitcher.
Good for him.
And he's out of options, so he's got a good chance of actually making the White Sox.
Cool.
Anyway.
Yeah, the Padres are terrible.
Padres are terrible. A year from now, Decker could, if he continues the production that he put up and up the next level, though, I believe he was in low A. If he can do, I mean, he's easily going to do it in high A because he's in the Cal League as a Padre.
Right.
But if he can, you know, really, really impress people, like put up good enough numbers that even if people subtract some of it to counteract the Cal League, or if he eventually moves up to the San Antonio Missions, which is the Double-A team for the Padres.
Interesting.
And I believe they're in the Texas League, of course.
Obviously.
He could find his way moving up the list very quickly. Any other final thoughts on the list, Mark?
Nope. It's a good list. Like we said, it'll be coming out on the blog soon, probably.
At least 10, potentially more.
Yes, we will start from 50 and go towards 1, regardless of how we post it, but it'll probably be in chunks because that's how we roll. Because
we want to keep you coming back for more.
Yeah, why wouldn't you want?
Anyway, we're going to take a break, and as always, music is brought to us from Music Alley by Mevio. We are potentially going to be getting some other theme music. In that, at this point, at least, we are going to be sticking with Music Alley. And surprise, surprise, we have not picked out the music yet. Go figure. We've kind of made a habit of that. So I would imagine it's going to be excellent. And we will be back after this short break. And welcome back. This is part 2 of episode 11 of the No Show Sportscast, and I told you the music was good.
It's always good.
It's always good. Good people over there at Mevio. So in part 2, as it always is, it's the fantasy sports section. It was part 1 was kind of fantasy sports section this week.
Yep.
Because we were talking about the list. Part 2 is always fantasy sports. It's our favorite. And
like we said in the first part, reality sucks.
Reality
talk about
does
fantasy
suck.
The whole time.
Fantasy, that's
reality doesn't always suck. Sometimes reality is cool.
Jen doesn't listen. It's okay. It's okay.
All right.
You're clear. You're in the clear.
Thanks.
So, opening day coming up a week from tonight. We are recording on a Sunday, and
by this time next weekend, the Red Sox will be 1-0.
Nice. That's actually a pretty good chance, but
is it in Boston or New York? Do you know? I don't know.
I don't know.
Beckett versus CeCe.
Should be a good matchup. Only on ESPN2. I was talking
the Deuce. What is it?
I was talking to our good friend Ben Taylor about it, and I'm not a fan of that. I think opening day should be on.
What's on ESPN1?
I don't know.
Isn't that the championship game of the NCAA tournament? Or is that on ESPN, or is that going to be on?
The championship game is on April 5th. Is that
that's
Sunday?
Monday. That's Monday.
Okay.
April 4th is the Sunday.
Yeah. That's right.
So,
and semifinals is on the 3rd. So there's nothing. We're just on the deuce.
Well.
And getting the deuce, which I'm not sure what that means.
I'm sure there's some explanation.
Anyway, we digress.
And ESPN2 is just as widely available as ESPN1, right?
Pretty much. I don't think ESPN2. Anyone ever only has ESPN.
Right. No, you don't.
But whatever. I'm still upset about it. Can't stop me.
At least it's not like on ESPN Alternate or something.
If it's on the Ocho, there's going to be problems.
What about the Diaz?
Okay. So, fantasy baseball. Opening day is coming up. There's a couple of interesting cases as far as players go. Some guys who are fighting for playing time. Some people who are impressing or not impressing so far in spring. And we just wanted to get in a new section that we're going to call Quick Thoughts. Very original, I know.
QT.
And so starting it off here in Quick Thoughts, Sean Rodriguez of the Tampa Bay Rays.
Starting at second base? Is that
potentially
official?
Potentially. No one knows yet.
No one knows.
He's had an amazing spring. Just, you know, home run after home run after home run. I think he's close to double digits at this point in home runs.
Right.
And the Rays do have the luxury. Ben Zobrist would be a decent bat in right field as well.
As opposed to Matt Joyce, who is the alternate, right?
If Matt
Zobrist
Joyce
starts at second, it would be Joyce and right. Potentially.
Probably.
They have Desmond Jennings, who's a good outfielder.
In AAA because he's
right.
Hurt his wrist. And Sean Rodriguez has played some outfield as well. But I'd say that there's a pretty good chance he's going to work his way into the Tampa Bay Rays lineup.
He would be good if he were there because they have a good lineup, they have a good young team, and he's not a bad baseball player.
He was essentially the prized possession in the Scott Kazmir trade last offseason.
Right.
Or not offseason, last trading deadline.
Right, with the Angels.
Yes. So, the Rays would really like for him to start producing. And as I was saying, Ben Zobrist is kind of cemented. Ben Zobrist, and for those of you like me who have Ben Zobrist on your fantasy team, he's going to be in the lineup every day. Sean Rodriguez is not going to push Ben Zobrist to the bench.
No, either way, I hope that Zobrist at least gets some eligibility.
Yes, that's the important thing for
because
those of us in keeper leagues.
If he were an outfielder, just an outfielder, his value would go way down.
Way down.
But having second base eligibility is a big deal for him.
Yeah.
So who's next?
Colby Lewis.
I like Colby Lewis.
I think everyone likes Colby Lewis at this point.
I'm not sure.
He's almost not a sleeper.
Yeah, he's still pretty much a sleeper.
I think he went for like $6 or $7 in our AL-only auction league.
Which is
not that much, but right. For a guy who was in Japan last year.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of hype because he had a great career in Japan, a great couple years.
Two, I believe.
2 years. He was a top prospect at one point, so he has the sort of, it's not unexpected of him to do well.
He couldn't stay on the Nationals.
Yeah,
the Nationals cut him.
He was bad the last time he was in the major leagues.
Yes.
But he went to Japan. He added like a cutter or something.
Everyone always adds a pitch and then they're dominant.
He was dominant in Japan, which is like people say it's sort of in between AAA and the major leagues.
Yeah.
In talent level. So he was dominant there. And he's now on the Rangers, who have Mike Maddox is their pitching coach.
Yes.
Who's a good pitching coach and turns bad pitchers into good ones.
It is an unfortunate park to play in, though.
It is. Arlington's not a great place to pitch, but...
Neither is Texas in general during the summer.
It can be done.
Yeah. I mean, he could be a pretty good pitcher.
Yes, he has the potential to be. He's certainly not a sure thing, but I like him.
The warning I would say is to don't require too much of him. He's a nice bonus guy late in a draft or an auction. He's not someone that you really want to rely heavily on for production because he could easily fizzle out by May or June.
The good thing about him is he's low risk, high reward.
Yes. That's the thing. You don't have to draft him very early or pay that much in an auction league.
Right.
Moving on, someone who you might actually have to start paying a little more or drafting a little early for is Chris Perez.
Yes, he's going to be closing for the Indians at the beginning of the year because Kerry Wood does what he always does and
gets hurt.
He's injured for, 6 to 8 weeks? I think that was as of maybe 2 weeks ago.
Yes, he's still got another month and a half.
Yeah, for about the first month... Perez will be closing for sure, and if he does well, there's no reason that they will pull him from the job.
I mean, Kerry Wood has one more year on his contract. If Chris Perez does well, he has kind of been anointed one of those closers of the future, where we always hear that term thrown around.
Yeah, there has been lots of those guys.
But he is, you know, on the doorstep, as it were, at this point. And if
he's the closer.
If he does, yeah, but he still hasn't, you know, done anything.
He's not a good closer necessarily.
If he produces well, I'd say that the job is his for the season. I don't see him doing well and then the Indians handing the job back to Kerry Wood for another month and then trading him at the deadline and then giving it back to Chris. That would just be too much of a change.
Right.
So I would say that he is someone to keep an eye on. If you're in a shallow mixed league, he probably might even still be on the waiver wire. Deeper leagues, he could still be easily attained. I know I traded him away recently in one fantasy league I'm in.
Right.
So he is, you know, out there for the taking for the most part. He's a nice risk to take. Probably not that costly of one either.
For sure.
Moving on, a guy that I know you and I are pretty big fans of at this point is Gordon Beckham. Of the Chicago White Sox.
Yep, he has been getting lots of hype this year because he is second base. He'll be playing second base for the White Sox.
So within 10 games.
He'll be playing, he's eligible at third base, which is a shallow position this year. And he's going to be on an offensive-minded team, a team that's going to be running a lot, so he'll get some stolen bases. And people are saying that he could be sort of a superstar if he has the potential to be after the season.
Yes, and it's really quite amazing. He spent very, very little time in the minors. He went to college at the University of Georgia. Shout out to our friends out there. And I think we know one person there, but that's cool. I don't even know if he listens.
Our friends. He doesn't.
He doesn't.
Probably
it's okay.
Not.
He's pre-med.
Jerk. He actually didn't like Gordon Beckham. He had some personal word.
It was like something with a girlfriend,
stole one of his friend's girlfriends or something like that.
I don't think it was talent-based because...
No, it certainly wasn't.
The kid can mash.
That's inarguable.
Yes. So I would say that people shouldn't get carried away with themselves, but, you know... Gordon Beckham could be, as you said, within another year or two, a superstar.
Indeed.
It's a very interesting guy to keep an eye on. It would be a nice cornerstone for the White Sox, who are kind of, I'd say, reaching that window of competitiveness, and they're going to have to be rebuilding pretty soon. So that'd be someone for them to build around.
Sure.
Now, jumping to a guy, and I'm going to have to actually throw you under the bus a little bit, Mark.
Do it. I like it.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, I'm sure you're torn up about
it. It was so hard. I couldn't decide if I was going to talk about it or not. So we were doing some over-unders a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And a certain speedy shortstop came up.
Who? Everett Cabrera?
No, Jose Reyes.
Already?
And
my main man.
Do you remember what the over-under was set at?
Probably something that I said over because...
I personally set it at 35.
Okie dokie.
And you scoffed at that and said way over.
Uh-huh.
Specifically were your words way over.
You've done your research?
I went back. I have a Google Doc of all our over-unders.
Okie dokie.
And I personally said over if healthy.
Well, so you're just a fair-weather hedging your bet kind of guy.
It seems to be a nice hedge at this point.
Way to go out of your way.
Because...
Way to go out on a limb, buddy.
Do you even know specifically what a thyroid does?
Do I know what a thyroid does?
Because Jose Reyes doesn't have one that works properly right now.
Well, I don't imagine that it affects his ability to steal bases.
I bet it does.
I bet you...
We're going to have to look this up. I'm sure that it affects, like... Muscles.
It's not
something.
The thyroid isn't affecting his speed. It's the hamstring that people are concerned about baseball wise.
Which is
thyroid
still a concern.
Is just life is a life condition.
Yes.
It's not a baseball condition.
I'm pretty sure someone said that it can actually affect, muscle twitch or something.
Anyone, I could say that, and that.
I'm pretty sure I just said it, so we're gonna have to move forward.
Okay, well, that doesn't mean it's relevant.
People say. That's always the nice fallback. Is I've heard people say, right? Anyway, so he is not healthy at this point. If you could redo that over-under, would you still take the over on 35 for the
Absolutely.
Season?
Absolutely.
Sticking with it?
Yep.
Awesome.
Obviously, if he gets hurt, he's not going to get that high. That's obvious.
If he gets hurt, he is hurt.
No, he might miss opening day. They won't commit to him for the opener. But
yeah.
So he's not... He's hurt, but it's still spring training. It's not baseball season yet.
Jose Reyes, I know it's very late to still be drafting teams.
I'm not drafting. I'm not saying I'm
not touching him.
Yeah, he's going kind of late in drafts, but...
He's still going in like the fifth or sixth round. I probably wouldn't take him until like double digits.
Right. Well, you're never going to get him on your team then because
yeah.
people draft him in the fifth or sixth.
It only takes one guy to want to, take that risk, and I'm not going to be that guy.
I'm not saying he's without risk. He's one of the baseball players I like more. He's one of my, it's not necessarily a logical reason why I think he'll steal over that many bases. If he's healthy, obviously he will, because that's what he does. The question is whether or not he's healthy, and the only thing I'm worried about would be the hamstring. If that acts up, when it very well could, then he's probably not going to do it, but...
I still think the thyroid is something to keep an eye on. Mainly because it could just, if it keeps him off the field, it doesn't matter what it's actually affecting. If he can't play baseball, he can't steal bases.
That's what I'm saying, but yeah, for sure. But I don't think the thyroid will affect his ability to play baseball that much. I think they're keeping him out of spring training because of it. And it looks like that, I'm reading this thing right now, and it says that it just says the Mets won't commit to Reyes for the opener. So they're not saying...
But they kept him on the 15-day disabled list for like 3 months last season.
That was because of the hamstring. That wasn't because of his thyroid. That was...
There's just so many things wrong with this guy. I'm just...
Yeah, did you see... who's the guy that just had surgery recently? It was some non-Mets player just decided to have surgery. And he was choosing between teams, and he chose the Mets team doctor to do a surgery.
Was it Joe Nathan?
Yeah, Joe Nathan.
Tommy John?
Yeah, he chose the Mets team doctor to do his Tommy John surgery.
Because they have the most injured players.
No, why? That's the worst choice. There's so many Mets that get hurt. Why would you want to choose anyone having to do with anything medical with the Mets?
No, well, it's not the trainer. The trainers are the ones that are supposed to keep them healthy.
Obviously, the doctors aren't that good because the players keep getting hurt.
But they're the ones who repair them, so they have a lot of practice in their work.
No, it was
yeah.
No. Terrible
lawyered.
Decision. Joe Nathan, terrible decision.
Terrible.
Terrible.
So, one more quick thought player before we get to just a few pick of players. And that is yet another young player playing in the Eastern Division of the American League this time. And that's Brian Mattis. He's, I think, officially still a rookie. I'm not sure. He might have overcome... did he pass his innings last season?
He's on our prospect list.
Right. Right. So he's still a rookie.
Lawyered.
Nice. For the two people listening that get that joke, you're welcome. And personally, I think And this is coming from
44 and two-thirds innings pitched.
This is coming from a guy who just spent $11 on him in an AL-only auction draft
and
a few
traded
hours ago.
Him away in a different league
and traded him
about a month ago
for Mike Stanton. Come on, what do you want from me?
Mike, you didn't give well. You gave more than Mattis. You gave
I gave Mattis and Derek Norris.
Derek Norris, top 50 prospect. Derek Norris.
You're not supposed to name any other one else. You just now they don't need to come. That might not. We're gonna change that. Derek Norris, you're off the list.
He's still on.
Anyway, so Brian Mattis, I personally think at this point the hype is a little too much for him. Expecting there's a certain ESPN analyst had a bold statement that said he will have a sub 4 ERA and 175 strikeouts or something like that.
That was his bold prediction.
Prediction, yes.
Yeah. That's as we've talked about off the air. Those predictions aren't meant to come true. Those predictions are sort of meant to underscore broad ideas.
Basically,
the broad idea here is that Brian Mattis is going to be good.
And I agree with that, but I think expecting this much this quickly from a rookie pitcher almost never ends well for anyone.
Yes, like I just said 4 seconds ago, no one's expecting him to actually have 175 strikeouts. It's just
not exactly what you said.
No one's expecting him to be that good right now. It's just he's going to be good.
Yeah, I just think that he is... like, I'm using myself as a bad example. If I could redo it,
you
I probably I am a bad children. Don't follow my examples. If I could redo it, I would not spend $11 on Brian Mattis.
Okay.
I'd say that's a good $2 or $3 too much. I think there's guys like Phil Hughes who could easily put up better numbers, who's coming much cheaper. And just at that point, yes.
Future Cy Young Award winner Phil Hughes?
Not in the next 7 years.
After the next 7 years? You think it'll be in 8 years he'll
yeah.
win a Cy Young? How old will he be?
Just
like 35 or something?
When I talk to him about it.
You're going to talk to Phil Hughes?
Yes.
Can you stop being ridiculous for 4 seconds?
That one guy in that movie got to talk to his players.
Oh, yeah, the Fantasyland. That's just, yeah, if you can find some documentary crew to follow you around.
Shout out to Ron Chandler.
Shout out to all those people.
Except Jed.
Except, yeah, the tool that got a fly ball off of his forehead.
That was hilarious.
He was refusing. It was funny because I'm going to explain the context. There's this documentary on this fantasy league that sort of is by experts, and they let this fan in who's not an expert, and there's a documentary crew following this guy around. The guy went to Wrigley Field, sort of scoffed at the idea that he would need a helmet in the bleachers, and then the next scene
probably
was
got
him
hit in the face.
Yeah, and during batting practice, he got hit in the face with a fly ball.
And then put on a helmet.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was pretty funny. That's what we're talking about. So we can move on. What are we, pick a players now?
Pick a players. Just
All
a few.
Right. Just a few. I'm going to start with shortstop because shortstop is a good position to start with. We're going to do this on the fly. I feel like this is the best way to do it. So we're going to do Marco Scudero or Miguel Tejada.
Miguel Tejada.
Marco Scudero.
Really?
Yep.
Ugh.
Why would you... What do you mean,
ugh?
Why would you choose...
Marco Scudero is a utility player who finally got some playing time up in Toronto where no one's paying attention.
Uh-huh.
And just had a career year.
So he was a utility player.
His numbers.
He got a full-time job, did really well. He still has a full-time job, but he's miraculously just
going
to do worse.
What were Scudero's numbers last year?
100 runs scored. That's all I know.
Okay, over or under 100 runs scored this coming year?
Depends on where he hits in the lineup.
Oh,
I feel like he'll get in the 90s.
Over under.
I think we've actually already done this over under.
Okay.
Look at your
under.
Don't you have a list of over unders?
Yeah, I'm not going to open it up.
We're not going to go over or under each stat. But
okay.
He had 100 runs scored. He had 12 home runs, 60 RBIs, 14 stolen bases. He hit .282, and he had a 789 OPS.
I really just – I don't see Marco Scudero being the answer for the Red Sox. I think that the pressure from the media and fans is going to be much, much more than from Toronto.
This isn't the answer to the Red Sox. This is the answer to your fantasy team. Would you rather have Miguel Tejada
on your
fantasy team?
I'm saying that I don't necessarily think that Miguel Tejada finishes the year as a shortstop for the Red Sox. That's what I'm saying.
You meant to say Marco Scudero.
Marco Scudero.
I feel like you're wrong.
Miguel Tejada won't finish the year as a shortstop for the Red Sox either.
That's true. Both are true statements. So here we go. Last year, Miguel Tejada had 83 runs scored. Marco Scudero had 100 runs scored. Miguel Tejada had 14.
Are we talking last year's numbers?
Last year's
or
numbers.
This coming year's numbers?
Last year's numbers.
What are we worried about, though? Are we worried about last year's numbers?
So you think Miguel Tejada, at age 35, is going to miraculously jump ahead and be the all-star AL MVP he was?
I think that hitting in the middle of the order for the Orioles, a very good Orioles lineup.
Who said he's going to be hitting the middle of the order?
Me, just now.
He's not going to be hitting in the middle of the order. They have much better hitters than him. He's going to be hitting at the bottom of the order.
He will not hit in the bottom third of the order. He will hit in the first six spots somewhere.
Fifth, five, or six?
Yeah.
Okay. That's not the middle of the order.
That's the five is the middle of the order.
That's
whatever.
Irrelevant.
Moving on. I'd say
Miguel Tejada will have a higher average. He will have less stolen bases. He will have less runs he will have less runs, probably more RBIs. They'll have about Miguel Tejada will probably have a couple more home runs, but I think Marco Scudero is safer because Miguel Tejada is old.
I would say he's safer just because of Tejada's age, but
Scudero's 34, by the way. Tejada's 35.
Scudero has less playing time, so less wear.
There you go.
But I'm gonna stick with the statement that when Marco Scudero doesn't finish the year as a starting shortstop for the Red Sox, I'm gonna say I called it. Just remember that now.
Okay, you're going to be wrong.
Listeners,
who's going to start at shortstop? Jed Lowry?
Jed Lowry, a trade.
Jose Iglesias is going to come up?
Jose Iglesias, maybe, depending on what he does. I think Marco Scudero is going to struggle immensely, and the Red Sox are going to look somewhere else.
That could be.
Okay. That's all. That's basically my thinking.
Whatever.
I don't like Miguel Tejada. I don't like Marco Scudero.
Alrighty. So how about, dig a little deep here. Let's go Adam LaRoche or James Loney.
Oof.
Yep.
I dislike both these guys so much.
Yep.
They're both NL West guys now. I'm going to go Loney because LaRoche turned down the Giants.
Interesting.
Going with the Dodger because it doesn't make any sense, but that's how my logic generally works.
Yeah,
so I'm going to stick
all
with
know
my normal logic.
I know, because I'm in the fantasy league with you, that you're a closet Dodgers fan because you have like eight Dodgers on your team and you have like one Giant.
That's so not true.
What do you mean it's not true?
I have Lincecum and Pablo, so don't lie about how many
Giants.
I have a lot of Dodgers. You don't need to
bring that
up.
You have more Dodgers than Giants.
Yes.
I digress.
There's better Dodgers than Giants.
I would also rather have James Loney because I don't like Adam LaRoche at all.
And Adam LaRoche has a prospect who could move up and take time away. Brandon Allen has gotten a lot of praise this spring from the Diamondbacks. They got him from the White Sox in a trade last season. And he is a big boy, probably can't play outfield, so he's probably going to be stuck in the minors until he can push LaRoche out of the way.
Right.
But I'd say the competition for LaRoche, his propensity to have a slow start, could prove fatal for him. Plus, he has a horrible career average in Arizona.
The difference between these two guys is Adam LaRoche is going to have a little bit more power. Loney's going to have a little bit better average.
Yeah.
The rest is all going to be basically the same.
I would take the less power and more reliability around the board elsewhere.
There you go. All right, so let's see what
let's
else.
Let's go one more.
One more. Let's do pitcher. Let's see what we got here.
I like pitchers.
Pitchers are good. Let's see. How about, I'm going to do a couple. More than two.
Whoa.
More than two.
Whoa.
We've done this before.
Oh, that's true. We have.
We've done this before. Don't act like. So we're going to start with Jorge De La Rosa.
Okay.
Edwin Jackson.
Eek.
Rick Porcello.
Okay.
Ted Lilly. Wade Davis, Matt Latos.
Whew. Porcello is probably on the top of that list for me.
Porcello's on top for you.
Yeah. And then
De La Rosa, Jackson, Lilly, Davis, Latos.
Probably Davis, De La Rosa, Jackson, Latos. And the only reason I put Latos last, Lilly, He's hurt right now.
Yeah, he's going to miss the first month or so.
I would put Lily last, I guess. Okay. I mean, he's a nice, like, safe, boring fantasy pick. Lily's never on any of my teams.
Right. He's, yeah.
So the only reason I put Latos behind Jackson is that the Padres have already come out and said that he's going to be capped at around 150 innings.
Right.
And that's just at the end of the year. I would take the full season of worst stats from Jackson, and instead of the shortened season of potentially better stats. I really don't like Edwin Jackson.
Right.
I think that he was horrible in LA as a prospect. Once he got to the majors, I mean, he was this, you know, highly touted prospect, worked his way up, faltered big time, ended up getting traded to the Devil Rays at the time, and then was traded, not this past offseason, but the offseason before, for Matt Joyce, is to the Tigers. He had that one half season that was good and then fell off the cliff again.
Right.
I think he's just going to do horrible in Arizona. I think it's just good job for the Tigers of getting some decent value. I mean, they had to trade away Curtis Granderson in that same trade, but they got Austin Jackson, they got Daniel Schlereth, and they got Max Scherzer.
Right. So I don't hate Edwin Jackson as much as you. I would have Wade Davis first.
That's fair.
Because I think he's going to get wins with the Rays. He's not a bad pitcher, and he's not going to have as much pressure.
The only reason I put Porcello ahead of Davis is Porcello has the full season in the majors at this point. And now Davis is older and has gone station to station in the minors and shouldn't struggle as much as most rookie pitchers would, and could probably, you know, pitch 200 innings this season. But I just think that Porcello's major league experience will probably, and he's easily a more talented pitcher in the long run, in my opinion.
Right, yeah. Porcello's more highly touted than Davis. That's not a question. But I think for this season, I would take Davis, then Porcello, then De La Rosa, then Edwin Jackson. I would have Latos ahead of Jackson.
I totally can agree with that.
But I like the upside of Latos. I think he could be an ace. And then Lily last because he's hurt. But he has the potential to sort of be in the middle of that list.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's it.
So those were our pick-up players for a week. Now we've got our in-depth player.
Trevor's lover.
I'm gonna have to admit I have a man crush.
You have lots of these. You have lots of.
I do, but this one's new. So he's the most important.
He's the
right
new
now.
New fling. New something. There's a saying.
I'm gonna be thinking
about this while you're talking. So go ahead.
So not paying attention like usual.
Continue.
The player we are speaking of is one Billy Butler, and had a pretty good year last year. He finished hitting .301 with a .853 OPS. He had 21 home runs, 93 RBIs, and 78 runs scored on what it was admittedly just an awful, awful Royals offense. And the really big kickers here in favor of Billy Butler is he won't even turn 24 until April 18th. And so he'll basically play the entire season only 24 years old. And the other kicker, he had 51 doubles. So even if, you know, 10 of those turn into home runs, as he, you know, power is always, it's a little cliche, but power is always the last thing to come. And if he can turn 10 or so of those doubles into home runs, turns into a 300 or so hitter with 30 home runs. That's really, really good.
Yeah, Billy Butler's a good hitter. He's always been sort of this bat first kind of defense last kind of guy. As a prospect, he was that. And last year, he broke out. He had 20 home runs, hit over 300, had an OPS that was pretty good, almost 100 RBIs. So he's a good hitter. No one's disputing that, and he's still pretty young. So if he follows the same sort of career path that he's the trend that he's been setting so far, then he'll definitely improve and be a good hitter next year.
Yeah, ESPN actually projects him to hit .299 this upcoming season, 29 home runs, but 99 RBIs and 90 runs scored. So a very, very solid offensive year, and I wouldn't be surprised if Butler actually outperforms the home run projection there, just because of the amount of doubles he did hit last year. And let's be honest, Billy Butler cannot run.
Yeah, he's
So
not a fast man.
the doubles he hit were in the gappers, stand-up doubles.
Right.
He's not the guy who hits a grounder to the gap that gets cut off and he, legs out a double. He's the guy who his doubles, generally are, hitting the warning track in some fashion. So I personally think Billy Butler has really big things in store.
Instead of 12 packs of donuts.
Hopefully he can lay off the 12 packs of donuts. An interesting little side note, there was that Pepsi commercial a little while back.
Bet there was more than one.
Well, it was the baseball one where they had like the interlacing of old and new time, and it's like how Pepsi's been around forever.
Old and new time.
It was Forever Young, sung by will.i.am, and it was also sung
Karaoke.
by Bob Dylan.
Okay.
You don't remember that song at all?
The
There was like a
song.
football version also.
I know the song. I don't know.
Anyway, it was a baseball version,
It's probably played on the MLB Network. They don't
and
watch that very often.
yeah, it is. The old version, right before we saw Billy Butler, the thing that the commercial was comparing against each other was Billy Butler and Joe DiMaggio,
Interesting.
which at the time seemed crazy.
Yeah,
Everyone was
but
like,
now it seems
who is
totally
that
awesome.
dude? And now it makes complete sense.
It does not make complete sense. It has nothing to do with anything remotely complete sensical.
Complete sensical.
You heard me.
We don't need real English words here
This isn't a
at No
grammar
Show
cast.
Sports. This is not a grammar cast.
So get off my
How
shit.
boring would that be?
That'd be the worst thing ever.
I'm sure there
That'd be
is
almost as
too.
bad as a history cast.
Hey,
Heyo!
I've listened to some history casts.
Why would you do that?
Cause I'm a history major.
Terrible.
And I think now that we've digressed back to real life, we've definitely run out of stuff to talk about. So we're gonna
Wait,
cut it.
wait. We always do over-unders, don't we, for our in-depth guys? Don't we? We go stat by stat. I think we've done that before. We kind of got away from it recently.
We might have done it with Maurer. I'm not sure if we've done it with anyone
I
else.
think we did it with. Didn't we have Javier Vasquez as one of them? I think we did it with him. Let's do it. You ready?
Not really. You want to be in charge of
Billy
this?
Butler. Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
Billy Butler's your boy, so you
You
can
gonna
do it.
write it down at least?
Why would I write it down?
I don't want to have to listen back later.
No, we just will remember that. Not just write down Billy Butler and everything. So we don't need to write down exactly what it is, but are we ready?
Yes.
So Billy Butler,
Yes, that's who we're talking about.
over under 303 batting average.
Over.
You think he's gonna hit over 303?
He hit 301 last year. He's always had. Actually, that was one of the things that people didn't like about Butler is he was hitting for a really high average in the minors, and especially once he got to the
Yeah,
majors.
I hate that about my prospects.
But he didn't have any power, and when you don't have any speed at all, and you don't have any power, you turn into James Loney, and everyone hates you.
I don't hate James Loney.
You kind of hate James Loney.
You like him because he's on the Dodgers.
So I think that Butler has, like 310 potential. I would say 303 is right around what he's gonna hit, but I'll take the over basically because he's my boy.
Billy Butler is your boy.
You taking the over under?
Am I taking the over under? First of all, I'm checking one of your statements. I like he hit 25 home runs in 379 at bats in high A as a 19-year-old. So he's had power.
Yeah, but
So
once he was moving further into the minors, and especially once he first got to the majors, he didn't have much power.
and it looks like between AAA and the majors in 2007, he hit 21 home runs. So he's hit around this 20s
Yeah,
before,
but I mean, it was.
which is more than Loney can
Everyone
say.
was. Yeah, everyone was saying that he had, 40 home run potential at one point. And he's starting to disappoint. He probably doesn't have 40 home run potential now, but now that he's up to like, 30, 35, it's much easier to deal with that.
So over under 303, I think that's about what he'll hit. I think he'll be in the low three, sort of 300 to sort of 308-ish.
Yeah.
There. I'll say under. Just
because you're a hater.
I'm not a hater. You have such high belly button love. I feel like I have to sort of bring us back down to reality.
With hate.
Not with hate. With reality.
Reality sucks.
Reality does suck. Damn. Anywho, so I'll say under, but okay. Slightly under. I
okay.
Think he'll probably be up. His career average is 291 in the majors.
Okay.
So I think he'll improve upon that.
He did struggle pretty badly for some time in the majors. Definitely got sent back down at one point to AAA since he was struggling so much.
Definitely. So home runs, you've said over 30 for sure. So over under for you, 35.
Why are we segregating the over unders?
Because you are absolutely
35. I'll take the under.
33.
32.5. I'll take the over.
Why 30? So you think he's going to hit 33 home runs?
Yes.
Not 35. Not 31.
33.
Do you think he's hitting 33 home runs?
Mark it down.
No, that work. I'm gonna say under 33. Because he's not gonna play any more. He's not gonna get any more at bats next year than he did last year.
Yeah, but all
he
I'm
played in 159 games.
He had the 51 doubles last year.
So you think he's just gonna add 12 home runs to his game in one season?
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
He had the amount. I'm basically putting all my faith behind the amount of doubles that he hit.
Contrary to your belief, I've been listening to what you've been saying, and I know that you're putting your faith in doubles.
Yeah.
I'm saying that he probably is just going to hit 40 doubles a year or whatever. So if he
50.
Adds.
He hit
50 last year, but he's probably going to hit about 40 a year, so I think he'll hit about 30 home runs. I think 33 is too many. I will say under.
What about 30? Over under?
30. I think he's going to hit 30.
Okay.
So I'll say
29
push.
And a half.
29 and a half, I'll take over.
Way to take a 30 stance.
And, 30 and a half, I'll take it under. That is my stance. He'll hit 30. That's more of a stance than your stance. 30 home runs, I think he'll hit right around 3. I think that's what he's going to be. He's going to be, who's someone that does that? He'll be like maybe Carlos Lee, sort of, over his career. 300, 30 home runs, 100 RBIs, 100 runs, put in the bank.
Yeah.
I think that he's going to be that kind of guy.
Okay.
Moving on. Runs, he had 78 last year.
Yeah.
He's probably going to be hitting third-ish in the lineup.
Yeah, he'll be hitting third.
So, 90 runs.
Probably right around where he hits. I'll take the under just because I don't trust the lineup behind him.
And he's, like as we said before, not a fast man.
Yes, he's. I mean, he's no Benji Molina.
Who is, really? He's 6'2", 240.
The only person who could be is Jose Molina.
Or Benji Molina himself.
Yeah, that's true. Or Pablo.
No, Pablo's not that slow.
Really? He's pretty slow.
I think people said they're the slowest tandem in baseball.
Yeah, that's fair.
Just because Benji Molina, just like I was gonna try to compare them to us in some way, but I'm not going.
You're swinging a miss.
So RBIs, he had RBI. He had 93 last year.
Yeah.
100 this year.
I'll take push.
You'll take a push. 100. Way to take a stance. Well, you think he's going to get exactly 100 RBIs?
Yes.
33
home
runs.
You're the one who said you think he's going to hit 30 home runs.
So how is he going to raise his home run total by 12 and his RBI total by 7?
Because his offense around him is awful.
So his offense around him got worse?
Yes.
How did it get worse?
They brought in Rick Ankiel and Scott Pudsednik.
That makes it better.
It does not make
Who
it better.
Who are they replacing?
Nobody. David DeJesus.
No, David DeJesus is still starting left.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
You're not.
Jose Guillen's starting in right. Ankiel's probably going to be in center, and Pudsednik's probably going to be in left.
I think DeJesus is starting over Pudsednik. Well, let's go to the video tape.
I think we should just cut it short because now we're running over when originally we were going to be... perfectly a little bit under our goal.
Perfectly a little bit under?
That's exactly what I said. Thank
so
you for repeating it.
I'm checking
the
handy
time.
Dandy CBS depth chart right now, and according to this, Jose Guillen is the DH.
Oh!
You forgot about the DH.
American League.
Awesome American League.
Oh.
Jesus is starting in rights.
Okay.
Sednik in left and Keel in center.
So I was pretty much right.
Yep. So we have one last statistic to go over under on. You ready?
Are you going to say steals and I'm going to have to say zero?
No. But he had one stolen base last year.
I'll take the under.
You'll take the under on one stolen base?
He's a slow man.
Okay. So under one stolen base, I was not going to say stolen bases. I was going to say OPS. OPS.
Yes.
So... So he had an 854 OPS last year.
Yeah.
That was a 362 on base and a 492 slugging.
For those of you keeping track at home.
Yes, that's how it breaks down. So 854 was his total last year. You think he's going to hit 12 more home runs?
Yes.
So I'm going to put it at 900.
Yeah, I'll take the over.
You'll take the over.
I'm not sure how the math works out.
Yeah, you're not. So you think he basically just turns 12 doubles into 12 home runs, right?
Yeah, I don't know if that would push it up.
That adds two total bases, 24 total bases.
This is now a math cast.
I don't know, math cast. I would rank that third worst among the casts we've talked about. I would say history cast one, grammar cast two, second worst, math cast fourth worst. Yes, third worst.
We're having trouble counting again, like last week.
That's why math casts are terrible. Anywho, so you say over 900 OPS?
I don't know how the math works out, but I've taken my stance on the actual numbers and whatever the OPS would work out to.
Well, people are going to be clamoring for the math to be done for them. Because ESPN's not.
It's not going to happen.
Well, I think that's about it.
I think that is. I think that was about it a while ago.
No, this was very important for us to do. It was just, it emphasized the fact that you are super high on Billy Butler.
I love me some Billy Butler.
Whereas I am completely level-headed and reasonable about Billy Butler.
Oh.
These are the differences between us. So there you have it. Billy Butler is going to be good, semi-great-ish, but not a superstar.
He's going to be great.
Nope.
And that's going to do it for us here. Now, we're actually going to sign off and no other...
Wait!
No,
I get nothing.
Okay. So, you have just spent an entire hour wasting time here at the No Show Sportscast. We will be back next week, and we will see you then.